The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm Benjamin Shapiro, the executive producer of the MarTech Podcast, and today we've got a special episode for you, which is going to be guest hosted by Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter. Juan is a recovering MarTech consultant turned creator who writes an amazing weekly newsletter about the MarTech industry. And I'm thrilled to invite him and some of his friends to take the mic and share their knowledge with you, our loyal MarTech Podcast listeners. All right, here's a special episode of the MarTech Podcast, guest hosted by Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter.
Welcome back, marketeers. My name is Juan Mendoza from the MarTech Weekly Newsletter, and this week we'll be discussing AI and the future of content marketing. Joining me today is Dean Barker. He's a global director of content management at Optimizely, which is the leading digital experience platform that offers marketers an ability to fully manage and optimize their digital presence and customer experience across every single touchpoint. Dean and I talked about the impact of AI on personalized content delivery yesterday, and today we're going to continue our conversation by discussing exploring the relationship between creativity and modern content suites. So I'm ready to dive into a fascinating conversation about AI, the modern content marketing platforms, and creativity. So here is our second conversation with Dean Barker, the Global Director of Content Management at Optimizely. Dean, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed our last conversation. I'm sure I'll enjoy this one too.
And let's dive right in. I would love for you to give us a view over how modern content suites are impacting creativity at the moment. What are the first things that sort of come to mind in terms of how those two aspects come together?
So there's the romantic lie of creativity, which we believe, and Hollywood has gotten us to believe this lie. Hollywood shows us people like Tony Stark and Dr. Frankenstein and Doc Brown from Back to the Future, these kind of mad scientists who exist, work all by themselves in their laboratory and come up with these amazing ideas. And this is the romantic lie of creativity, that great ideas are the ex nihilo product of a singular human mind. That's what we believe. And that's not how creativity works. As human beings, we externalize creativity. We externalize it to places, physical places. We externalize it to platforms. We externalize it to artifacts. We externalize it to feedback networks. And I've actually done a lot of research on this, about the way that we use external tools to make ourselves more creative. There was a building on the MIT campus. It was called Building 20, and it was built in 1943. And it was a temporary building. It was built to do radiation research during the final years of World War II. And it was supposed to be torn down right after World War II. But it never got torn down until 1998. It stood for 55 years. And if you look at the list of programs that were in that building, it's really remarkable. Obviously, they did radiation research from the war. The Model Railroad Club was in there. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of the most seminal thought organizations and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology existed in Building 20. And Building 20 got this legend around it. They've written books about Building 20. It was just this amazing place. They finally tore it down in 1998. But it became this externalization focus, this place where creativity happened, where teams could come together and work together and be innovative and have some great ideas. So we externalized a place. We externalized to process. I've done a lot of research on how an episode of Saturday Night Live comes together. When you think about Saturday Night Live, you think about this kind of freewheeling, chaotic atmosphere, but it's actually very, very process-driven. They have different stages through the week. There's a table read, and there's the writing section, and then there's rehearsals. It's very, very strict process to get an episode of Saturday Night Live out the door. We externalize to artifacts. I have weirdly, as a middle-aged man, done research into Eminem's creative process. Eminem is probably one of the greatest lyricists of my generation. And he did this interview with 60 Minutes with Anderson Cooper years ago, where he showed Anderson Cooper all of these notebooks that he had where he had written notes. When Eminem's bored, he sits down with a loose leaf notebook and just writes down different words to figure out how to rhyme them together. There's a common saying that no word in the English language rhymes with orange. And he was showing Anderson Cooper, he literally had the word orange written, and he had different phrases that if he inflected certain words certain ways, he could get them to rhyme with orange. And I was looking at that and I was thinking, man, that is just amazing. It's another concept of externalization. And the problem is the enterprise doesn't believe in this. The enterprise doesn't know that this is how creativity works. And so I don't believe that the enterprise supports creative teams as much as they should. They believe that creative teams just sit in a room and come up with a magic idea. And we spend $5 billion a year on development operations. We spend $5 billion a year supporting our developers. How much do we spend supporting our creative teams? And how much do we spend on tools for them to work together and to collaborate and to ideate and to centralize their ideas and share their ideas and develop their ideas? We don't. And the average organization is spending millions and millions of dollars on their developers and not nearly the same amount on their creative. And it gets me a little salty because I am on the side of creative teams. And that's one of the problems. So what we've done at Optimizely is, Optimizely for a long time was simply a CMS company. But what we determined was, I wrote a blog post back in 2006 called The First 85%. And in this blog post, I theorized that if you look at the entire scope of content from 0%, you just get the idea, to 100%, you publish the idea. You don't actually open your CMS until about the 85% mark. You do so much work outside your CMS. You don't open your CMS and actually do something in your CMS until you're actually very, very late in the process. And so we started talking about that first 85%. And we realized we weren't doing enough to support our customers in the first 85%. So that eventually led to the acquisition of a company called Welcome, which we've rebranded the Optimizely Content Marketing Platform. And what this is a tool that organizes and enhances all of the work a creative team does before they ever open their CMS. It helps them collect ideas and ideate and plan an editorial calendar and create campaigns and assign tasks and actually rough in content, whether by AI or by human, and organize all of these tasks until finally, at the very end of the process, okay, now let's go put it in the CMS. So this first 85%, we don't pay attention to because the enterprise believes in the romantic lie of creativity. They believe that creativity is magic, and it's not magic. It's a process. It's methodical. An episode of Saturday Night Live doesn't just magically happen, and neither does content. So there you go. I've been on a very, very strong rant about this because I believe very, very strongly in this. We need to support our creative teams better with tools.
Yeah. And there's a few things that I want to touch on, but let's start with the first 85% as you frame it there. I think I agree with you that a lot of the CMS industry focuses on output and not input, which is, okay, here's the finished article, or here's everything that needs to go to legal for approval, or here's the assets that our designer has created. And it all goes in there and it's tagged and it's managed and then deployed on the website and channels and whatever. You're right that a lot of the platforms are focused on that output, but the input is just as fascinating because you're right that without a way to manage ideas before they even become content, what we talked about in yesterday's episode was that there's a difference between words and content, and there's a difference between ideas or sketches or concepts or a whiteboard session, but that's the critical part of the process. So how do you link that up with, say, a platform that allows and facilitates that? But could you give us a bit more of an insight into that first 85%? So how do people actually use these platforms to manage that creative process? And if you have any kind of examples there or folks that have done that.
Yeah, so from the top down, our system allows a comprehensive editorial calendar. What they do is they let your marketing and content teams determine what your campaigns look like, what your tasks look like, when each piece of content is going to launch. You can take a campaign and then you can break it down into different tasks. These are all the different tasks. These are the recurring tasks. These are the different goals and milestones that this campaign will have. And you have this representation of your entire campaign that the entire team can kind of get behind. Then for each different task, you can organize the content that belongs or is needed for that task. Take writing a blog post, for example. When we talk about writing a blog post, we're so obsessed with managing the blog post. We think, oh, the blog post is the thing. No, it's not. The thing you're trying to manage is the work process to create the blog post. And there's so much more than that than the actual words of the blog post. There's getting art for the blog post. There's getting it approved. There's getting it published. There's checking analytics for it. There's so many different process items that just go beyond the words. And so this system is task-based, not content-based. Everything is done within the context of a work item, in the context of a task, because that's what matters. It's the work process to get that content out the door. And we find that when teams can kind of shift and recalibrate their thinking around that, around work process, independent of the content itself, it's kind of a remarkable mental shift for a team.
A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Time for a one-minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on two channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview.
I think that process beforehand can be so critical for any sort of creativity. But I want to add something in here, which is this element of chaos in creativity. I agree with most of what you're saying here, which is that having a good understanding of scope, a good understanding of process, of responsibility, who does the work, when, all of that is extremely important to ensure that you're getting to an output, right? But often, and even in my own case with the MarTech Weekly, we're a media business, our business is literally is creativity, is that often the best ideas come from chaos. It comes from banging your head against the wall, can't find the idea, can't find the insight, and then having to cancel a bunch of meetings and then missing a deadline sometimes, and then finally something comes. And I am interested in this whole concept of managing that first 85%, managing that creative process, because how much of it is chaos and how much it should be just efficient, smooth, streamlined processes? How do you rationalize that? Because I've got some logic behind how I think about it, but I'd love to hear yours.
Okay. So I think there's some survivor bias in how you're looking at chaos.
Okay. Go for it.
I think that you're remembering the times, the 10% of times where it worked beautifully and you came up with some great content. You're filtering out the 90% of the times where it didn't work. Mm. I would encourage you to go out to YouTube and search for a documentary called Saturday Night. It is a documentary that was a film project by James Franco for his NYU film class. And what he did is he followed the development of an episode of Saturday Night Live from beginning to end. And it was a 2009 episode. The guest was John Malkovich. And it's a fascinating documentary. And what I found interesting about it was the way they could have chaos within process. Like, for instance, the first thing that happens with an episode of Saturday Night Live is they all meet in Lauren's office with the host. They introduce their host. He gets to meet everybody. And then they talk to the host about what do you think is funny? What things can we explore about your personality? And then they all go off and write. And they have 2 days of chaos. And there are scenes of them writing, which I'm pretty sure they're all high as a kite. And they're writing like crazy. And it's this just incredibly amazing chaotic thing. But it comes back together on Wednesday because they have to do the table read. So we have gates on either end. You have the host meeting and you have the table read. There's chaos in the middle. It's fine to have wonderful chaos, but you have to have gates and you have to have milestones that things have to foot through. So you have to make sure that things get delivered. So the trick is that creative chaos within a larger process that makes sure things get delivered. I'm a big believer in that.
The way I think about this, and it's a fantastic example, highly recommend people check that out, as I will. The way I think about it is divergence and convergence, right? Like beer mode and coffee mode. Beer mode is that 2 days of writing, of chaos, of any idea can stick, and a lot of waste, just a lot of ideation in that divergent, because you're diverging into many different ideas or potential solutions or whatever you're trying to tackle. But then there comes a point where you're drinking coffee, where you're converging. It's Monday morning. You're like, hey, we got to get something on paper. We got to get something moving. And knowing, I find that often in the creative process for marketers, there's a tension there, because if you diverge too much, then you end up going nowhere. If you converge too early, then you may not have the right idea. And often it's that battle of those two different tensions and when you actually pull the trigger to converge. And often that's something that I consistently learn all the time as well.
I like what you're saying about divergence and convergence, because I think that's really the nature of business, right?
Of course.
Free people up to be as creative as possible and do whatever they want to do and don't micromanage them. But at some point, they have to come up with something. There's a point in time where something has to be delivered. Now, what I think, Juan, you're talking about is the point in time something has to be delivered is like the final product. I'm a little more boring than that. And the point in time for me would be the rough draft, the table read at Saturday Night Live. I would want to converge earlier than just at the final product. So I think we're talking about the same thing. I'm just a little more boring than you.
I don't think so. But it is fascinating to think, yeah, when do you converge? Is it at the end product or is it at the draft? I would agree with you. I think the convergence comes at you don't have something fully defined, but you've got something now that you can start iterating and giving feedback on. I love how Jerry Seinfeld thinks about creativity. He says that in that first, what I call divergence process, when he's writing a script for Seinfeld when he was doing that, or when he's writing jokes for an upcoming show, he would sit there and he would say, when I'm doing this initial draft, when I'm just getting the ideas flowing, he says, I treat my words like a baby, like with gentleness, with care. I'm not critical. I'm just letting myself go. And then once he's got something on paper, he gets back to it with a butcher's knife and just slashes and cuts and is being as violent as possible with the feedback, not from just himself on his own work, but also from others as well. So I wouldn't say that creativity is just that, like, oh, let's get to an end state here. So actually, no, let's get to a point where we can actually critique the work and then start to refine it and make it better. Super important.
I've done a lot of writing, and one of the best pieces of advice I've ever heard about writing is write drunk, edit sober. Write drunk, you know, I have three or four drinks, because once you have three or four drinks, you don't care what you're writing, right? You don't censor yourself anymore.
Yeah.
But when you're editing, you should be sober and you should be very, very critical about what you're writing. So yeah, write drunk, edit sober. I found that three Coors Lights makes me a better writer. And then I go edit it and I'm like, well, 80% of this is okay, but that's 80% more than I had before.
Well, that's beer mode, and then there's coffee mode.
Sure.
So when we take these ideas and we try to apply it to the enterprise, what are some things that marketing executives should think about when trying to, say, operationalize these creative processes? And perhaps you can talk a little bit about how software, how technology can help influence those processes.
Yeah, so tool support is critical. Don't believe that your teams can survive without tooling support. We have too many teams that are surviving on just weird Slack channels and Google Docs and things like that. So tool support is critical. You need to invest in your creative teams just like you invest in your development teams. That's the biggest thing I would tell executives. If you want a methodical, ordered process that requires tooling, that requires investment, that's not magic.
It's not magic. Technology often enforces processes, right? Because it's an interface that people look at. It's something that people can be tagged on and reminded about. There's all these operations that feed off having just a technology platform in place. It's very important. So on that note, that wraps up our second episode with Dean Barker, an absolutely fascinating discussion about creativity in the enterprise and how to get it right and how to drink a few Core Lights during the writing process. Appreciate that. So that wraps us up. But thank you to Dean Barker. He's the Global Director of Content Management at Optimizely for joining us. If you'd like to get in touch with Dean, you can find his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can also contact him on Twitter, where his handle is Dean_Barker, or visit his company website at optimizely.com. Dean, thank you again for a fascinating conversation.
Thanks for having me, Juan. I enjoyed it.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to our guest host, Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter. If you'd like to get in touch with Juan, you could find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter. His handle is Juan Mendoza, but it's spelled crazy pants. It's JU4NMEND0Z4, or it's a little easier to just visit his company's website, which is themartechweekly.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletters, and you can even send us your topic suggestions or your marketing questions, which we'll answer live on our show. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MartechPod, MartechPod, on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Or you can contact me directly. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app, and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.